then on the 5th day of June 1944, just as you see them here, a fleet of more than 4,000 ships put out from England. This was D-Day, fourth anniversary of the Battle of Dunkirk, and the Allied armies were striking back.
Of course, the actual landing would come the following day, June 6th. But before we delve into why D-Day was so important, Professor Kurt Peeler is quick to stress that this was not the first invasion of Allied forces into Axis-held territory.
There were other D-Days, particularly in Europe. There was the Operation Torch in North Africa. There was the invasion of Sicily. There was the invasion of Italy. There was the second invasion of Italy, the effort to do sort of a run around the Germans at Anzio. But D-Day was the ultimate of amphibious assaults.
Just the raw numbers connected with the operation surpassed anything ever seen before. The total number of Allied troops in the invasion topped 156,000. They came aboard nearly 7,000 ships and more than 2,000 aircraft. Given that very few of those who actually took part in the D-Day operation are still alive, the primary way we know about the event is through the movies. And Professor Peeler says two films in particular have portrayed it well from a historical perspective.
There's a lot I loved about Steven Spielberg's film, Saving Private Ryan. What gets missing, though, is the big picture, which I think that is captured by The Longest Day, that this was very much an Allied operation. And if you tour the beaches, if you're fortunate enough to tour the beaches, you get a real appreciation, particularly of not only the American role, but also of the British and particularly Canadian role.
Although Peeler says the Allied nation that really benefited from the invasion wasn't even present on the beaches of Normandy.
D-Day was the long-awaited second front that the Soviet Union was desperate for the Western Allies, Great Britain and the United States, to open. The United States, Franklin Roosevelt and Army Chief of Staff George Marshall would have liked to have opened it in 1942, and it kept getting pushed back.
But Peeler notes that nearly two-year delay actually was a good thing for the invading forces.
The British and the Americans were really fortunate never to confront the bulk of the German army, that the Soviet Union's from June of 1941, when they were invaded, till the war ends, confronts the bulk of the German army. And that's why for Americans, it's the good war, because if we had lost millions of men and women, we would not consider it the good war. We might consider it the Great Patriotic War, but definitely not the good war.
Even so, things were bloody enough, especially on the American landing beach called Omaha, where nearly 4,000 troops were killed.
Part of it was the most heavily defended, but there were flaws in the planning and debates. The British thought there should be much more shelling of the beaches, and they ended up having a compromise. The result is the bombers drop too far away from the targets, and there's not enough shelling to do appreciable damage in Omaha Beach to the very entrenched Germans. And the result is high loss of life. Omar Bradley thought he might have to abandon the assault. But in the end, they're partly saved by the Navy. The Navy, four destroyers, they almost beached themselves to level devastating fire at German emplacements.
Professor Peeler says there are many little-known D-Day stories, some not yet part of the event's formal history, awaiting the curious at FSU's Institute on World War II and the human experience.
The two joys of it is we have thousands of collections, which we're stewarding, but one of my pleasures is to try to get scholars and students in the general public to know about us and to use our great holdings. And among the great holdings, we have some wonderful materials on D-Day.
Which took place 73 years ago today. For WFSU News, I'm Tom Flanagan.